couldn't even beat a motley group of gnomes!
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Next Door Villain.
Hey, we're excited that you are here and listening to this episode, which is all about the Sorceress of Castle Grayskull.
Yes, the amazing, who I think is a sorcerer, not a sorceress.
I don't think sorceress is a gendered term. I think it refers to any sorcerer.
Well, I'll let that slide just because I think we should just get rid of gendered terms anyway. But I think it's sorcerer.
I don't know. We'll have to look this up later.
Okay. Anywho, yes, we're going to talk about the amazing sorceress Skeletor from the Masters of the Universe. Our favorite skull-like villain.
Yeah, I think I would say that's accurate. I can't think of any other skull-based villains.
Me neither.
Off the top of my head.
I know, he's the best one out there.
Oh, you know what? Who was that Nicolas Cage, the fire guy in that movie? He had a skull.
Oh, well, regardless, obviously not as important.
No, as not nearly as memorable as Skeletor, who is fun and sassy, buff.
Yes, he is very ripped. So I just started watching He-Man before we recorded this episode. But I promise, you know, I've done a lot of research and watched a lot of episodes, and I am developing quite a connection to Skeletor and, you know, learning about him and all of the other characters on that show. And I was like, why is Skeletor so buff? And like, damn, like everyone is ripped. And then all the women have like very perfect hourglass shaped bodies. And it was very like 1989 depiction of beauty.
Yeah.
And I was, oh, damn, I have to work out your entire fucking life.
Yeah, he is surprisingly ripped for someone who doesn't need to be, considering that he is like an all-powerful sorcerer.
He doesn't even do that much physical stuff. I mean, no. I guess a good amount, but like it's more like bossing around other people to do it and then using magic.
Yeah, he must work out behind the scenes.
I gotta be buff to get into Grayskull.
Well, this is a show that I actually don't think I watched a ton of it when I was growing up. I may be just like a little bit too young to have been watching the cartoon when I was a kid. But for some reason, Skeletor really stuck out to me. He's someone that I remember very clearly, even though I don't really remember the series as a whole. And I think that's because that's a testament to how interesting and captivating of a villain he was. But like me, I think a lot of our listeners might need a refresher on Skeletor, because this is a complicated universe that they live in. And for a children's television series, it was pretty complex.
It was, and they have all these awesome names, and I'm like, how do you remember who is who? And why the fuck is that guy's name Man-at-Arms? What does that even mean? So many questions.
And we are going to attempt to condense all of that complicated information into an improvised 30-second introduction to Skeletor, like we always do. And for fun, if you want, you can go on our Twitter or Instagram after listening to this episode and vote on which one of us you think did a better job. Usually that's Tiana. She usually wins the vote. But
just because I have more friends than you.
Oh.
Just kidding. I'm totally kidding. No, the reason is because I think
that
I posted
mean.
On my story.
That was
story.
Like a Skeletor insult.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the
Well, if you're so confident, maybe you should go first.
Okay.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
I am Skeletor, evil lord of destruction, and the person who wants to capture Grayskull. These are my henchmen, who I think are a lot of bogus idiots who can't even follow orders correctly or really know what the heck I'm talking about. My fabulous powers are telepathy and being very awesome and insulting people.
Time's up. Interesting take.
An artistic take.
Yeah.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. Skeletor is an all-powerful sorceress who wants to take over the castle Grayskull because it has all these special powers that he wants to take over so that he can control the universe. And his mortal enemy is He-Man, who's the only other person apparently in the universe who is as powerful as he is. And he doesn't have a face because it was burned off with acid. And then some other powerful sorcerer saved his life, but left him with just a skull for a head.
Nice. Very good.
Yep.
And there have been some debates about whether or not he has a neck. Fun fact.
Yes. It's a very controversial issue, it turns out. But I'm on team neck. I think he has a neck. And
yeah,
I'll explain why. And this, I think, will also be an explanation for his backstory a little bit. So his origin story is a little bit unclear. We get bits and pieces of it from different depictions of him. So there was the television series that people know him most from, and then there were some other series and movies made throughout the years. But the basic idea of his origin is that he was originally this dude named Keldor, who was the brother of King Randor, and King Randor is He-Man's father. So Skeletor is He-Man's uncle, basically. But at some point in time, Keldor started mentoring under this evil sorcerer Hordak, and then ended up in a fight where acid ended up on his face, burned his face off, and then Hordak saved his life. But in return, basically, it meant that he would have a skull on his face forever, or that his face would be a skull. And so this is why I think he has a neck, because that origin story basically says that his face was burned off, and he's always wearing a hood, so we can't see the back of his head. But if it was just his face that was burned off, then he would in fact still have a neck. Team neck. Hashtag team neck.
But then, correct me if I'm wrong, so the argument against team neck, team no neck, is that his head is probably floating in there because there needed to be some magic to kind of put him back together. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I guess so. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I could also believe as well, because it was a sorcerer who saved his life. So yeah, he could just have a floating skull head. And maybe he wears that hood so that it doesn't look super weird.
Mm-hmm.
A skull floating above a really buff body.
Right. Yeah, because I guess he could keep the rest of his body.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like my neck very well. I guess I could wear a cape. Be nice.
Yeah. You know, it would be nice not to have a neck sometimes. Like when I'm sitting at my computer all day at work, my neck gets really tense, and then you like get a headache, or you just like need a massage or something, but you don't have anyone in your life to massage it for you.
So you'd rather it be floating there above the computer screen.
I think that I would have a lot more versatility with my head. You'd be able to kind of whip it around, not have to worry about a sprain or a knot.
Right. Like if you were a teacher and like a student is like behind you doing something naughty, then you just spin around your head like, what are you doing? And they're like, uh-oh, sorry, Mrs. Skeletor.
Mrs. Skeletor would be the most fun teacher.
I know, Mrs. Skeletor. Wow, she knows how to take some shit.
Yeah. Okay, so the rest of the Skeletor story is that he is trying to take over the Castle Grayskull, where He-Man lives, because the Castle Grayskull has some sort of power and he wants to possess that power so that he can apparently be a master of the universe. He never really reveals what his master plan is. It's not clear what his goals are, but yeah, he's trying to take Castle Grayskull.
And it was never clear. Like, what are you going to do after you take it? And so he does all of these weird strategic tricks with his henchmen, and then like tries to kind of manipulate other people, like who is on He-Man's side, to try and get what he wants, and freezes the royal family in order to try and get into Castle Grayskull. I guess if he's a master of the universe, then maybe that means that he would take over Eternia as well. I don't think he really likes that place a whole bunch. He really doesn't like the royal family a whole lot. Definitely doesn't like He-Man because he keeps stopping him from doing it. After his failed attempt doing whichever trick he has under his sleeve, he just kind of is defeated and walks away. And he's never really arrested or killed. He just says, bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Be back tomorrow. And then it's kind of like, I noticed in the episodes, it's kind of a regular thing, like a regular day-to-day life in that the Masters of the Universe just kind of know that he's going to appear sometime. And so it's like your daily activity is fighting Skeletor. And then at the end of the day, you go to bed and you wake up and you do it again.
Yep.
And that's your purpose in life.
Yeah. And you learn a nice you learn a nice lesson.
Right. That too. Every day. A new lesson.
That really struck me about the television series, going back and rewatching it, is that the end of every episode, just in case you didn't understand the message, one of the characters would come on screen and lecture you for like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. So there's some backstory. The other thing is that I kept thinking that because he was mentored by Hordak, that maybe he influenced him to be evil because he saved him. But then kind of Hordak's goal is to also create destruction. So I thought, I guess it's very possible to be heavily influenced by your mentor.
Yeah.
But then I guess it's also commonplace to betray them eventually so that you can be more powerful. Yeah. I don't know.
So it's difficult to kind of grasp Skeletor's motivations because we don't really have some key points in his backstory. Like, we know that he was the brother of King Randor and that then he started mentoring under the evil Hordak. But we don't know how he started mentoring under Hordak. Did Hordak come and seduce him with the power of the dark side like Palpatine influenced Anakin in Star Wars? Or was he just kind of a bad kid who went and got himself into some bad stuff? We don't really know. But somehow he ended up working for Hordak. But I think we can assume that Hordak was not a positive influence on him. And for whatever reason, Skeletor or Keldor, when he was younger, probably felt like a little bit of an outcast because his brother was king. So he was probably living in the shadow of that fame. And so he was probably susceptible to outside influence, to someone who offered to give him attention and time and energy and power, because that's probably something he wasn't getting as much at home as he would have liked to.
Yeah, definitely some outcast stuff happening there. Then I also remember Skeletor eventually betrays Hordak by, I'm not going to talk about the details of that, but, and I kind of see throughout the whole show that there's some like competition there. Who's the most evil or who can be the most powerful? Or it's kind of like you have your mentor, but then you want to, then you realize that you could even be even more powerful than your mentor and you want to wreak havoc and go against them. Another thing that is fascinating about Skeletor is that I watched parts of the 1987 live action film of Masters of the Universe, and Skeletor is looked at as even more of a darker character in that film, and it's very Star Wars-esque in some ways, where he kind of looks like Darth Vader in a weird way. So, you know, he's hungry for power, and there's a scene where he captures He-Man. And he says, in regards to He-Man's friends and other Masters of the Universe, where are they? Where are your friends now? Tell me about the loneliness of good, He-Man. Is it equal to the loneliness of evil?
I think that's a really powerful, deep, emotional line.
Mm-hmm.
I love that line, and I think that a lot of people can really connect to it.
Yeah, it was the only great thing about this very cheaply made film. No, it was a good film, but it's very 1987. And you're right. Yeah, that is a very deep quote. And I think it kind of implies that some of his motivation could also be that he needs to be known to others as important and powerful in order to have people know who he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty explicit that he's saying that he is lonely. Like,
yeah,
is it equal to the loneliness of evil? He's saying that he doesn't have anyone. He's by himself. To me, this is a cry for help I think. And I suspect he doesn't know any other way, right? He's done all of these terrible, evil deeds, and he doesn't have anyone around him, and he probably can't see a way out.
Mm-hmm. And I think he also gets a little bit excited because usually he sees He-Man with other people, with other masters of the universe in order to help fight him. But Skeletor is oftentimes alone. And so he's kind of excited to see that He-Man is very vulnerable in this moment without other people around him. And he's kind of, I think it's also a way of him saying, like, now you can kind of get a glimpse of what I feel like every day.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like his cry to make him empathetic. No, make He-Man empathetic. So,
yeah. And so we say this all the time that we never try to justify bad actions, but to understand loneliness in someone else, I think really helps to understand why he does the bad things that he does, because I think loneliness is a really powerful motivator to cause us to do things that we maybe wouldn't do if we were our regular, like, happy selves.
And I don't know if you've been reading some studies or articles, but the millennials and Gen Z, even elderly populations these days, are very lonely. We are pretty lonely people in the United States, right? I think, you know, it's important to think about that in a way, like, how can I help another person, or how can I, like, be with other people so that I don't lash out in some way? Because I have been very lonely before. When I first moved to Spokane, I knew no one. So I pose this question for both of us to answer, like, has loneliness caused you to do or driven you to do any weird things, or, like, anything that's kind of alarming, or things that you wouldn't normally do if you would have people in your life? Because I can go first. I would do this weird thing where I would talk out loud more, and I'd never really done that. Like, I probably looked very strange. Like, I would speak out loud, and then I would turn on the TV just to have, like, some noise in my room. And that was probably for a span of about 6 months, but imagine if I would have been like that for many years. I feel like I would have started to do some other weird things. I don't know, like, what other weird things I would do, but they might not be looked at as entirely awesome. Sometimes loneliness causes you to isolate yourself even more. And I guess in Skeletor's situation, if he's lonely, he's going to be evil. And I guess I can picture other people maybe not being that drastic, but doing things like going to weird places alone, or self-medicating in some kind of way that are also not advisable. And so it kind of gives us a bit of a connection to why Skeletor might want to be that drastic if he's feeling lonely.
Yeah. I don't know that I would say I've done anything especially weird because of being lonely, but I'm kind of in the same boat as you, where when I moved out to Maine, I didn't really know anyone out here. So I've had to kind of work really hard to make friends, which is tough for me. But I found that the more lonely I got, the more willing and able I was to overcome my anxiousness and anxiety about going out and doing things by myself. So, like, I'm really anxious and I'm really shy. So going to an event by myself or a class or something is really scary for me. And there are times in my life where I would not do that. But I found that when I was feeling really, really lonely, that was enough of a motivator to be like, oh, if I don't go do these things, then I'm not gonna, like, make any friends, and I'm just gonna be terribly unhappy. So for me, that's just evidence of, like, how powerful loneliness can be to drive us to do things. And I can very much see how, you know, for me it was positive, but maybe for someone else it could drive you to do negative things. Like, maybe you don't see a positive path, or you're in a difficult or a bad situation. It might motivate you to do things that aren't good. And I think that might be what happened with Skeletor. That might be what's happening with him.
Mm-hmm. And if you think it's drastic that he went evil, I'm assuming this is something that was happening to him for many, 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 many years. if it gets to that point, yeah, maybe you want to be someone who's aggressive in order to be noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to mitigate your loneliness.
Yeah. So I have a theory that kind of wraps all this together for Skeletor and his motivations. And I want to preface this by saying this is just totally something I made up. It's total speculation. But part of empathizing is having the ability to be creative and imaginative about other people's lives and what they might have been going through. Because without that imagination, you can't put yourself in someone else's shoes. So this is not necessarily what happened with him, but it's my imagining of something that could have happened to lead him to be the villain that he is today. But when we think about loneliness and not feeling seen, I think about the fact that he doesn't have a face. And a face is so important in the world. Like, we portray so much emotion and so much feeling with our faces, and we connect with people through our faces and through our eyes. And I wonder if when people look at Skeletor, if they don't have any sort of connection with him, and that he can feel that, and that he might feel like he's being looked at just as any other object because he doesn't see the way that people react to his feelings and his emotions. And so in a sense, not having a face almost makes him invisible. I read in a book recently, and I wish I could remember where this was from, but it said something to the effect of, to be seen is to exist. And thus, if people don't see us, then we don't exist in the world. And that's a really terrible feeling.
Yeah, and I can definitely feel that. And I also think that Skeletor, maybe because he doesn't have a face, also puts more emphasis on like the words that he says. And maybe that's also a reason as to why he's so sassy.
Yeah.
you know, or just like, you're obviously like not going to listen to me with my facial expressions or like my nonverbals. So I need to call you an idiot with my mouth right now for you to pay attention. Even his henchmen are kind of, they're not the smartest bunch. And so I can also see how even his own henchmen, who kind of only care about getting paid, aren't really seeing him either. And they're supposed to be on his side.
Yeah. And to even extend on this speculation a little bit further, I also wonder about the fact that Skeletor never wins, even though he's supposed to be this all-powerful sorcerer, and that He-Man is supposed to be the only other person powerful enough to be able to stop him. There's a little bit of me that wonders if, like, subconsciously, he doesn't want to win. Like, he doesn't win because he doesn't really fully let himself win. And that part of that might be that he doesn't care about really taking Castle Grayskull and getting its power. He's already very powerful. What he cares about is the attention that people are seeing him, and that his actions are having an impact on other people, because that proves to himself that he exists. Because when he can see things that he does affect other people, even if it's affecting other people negatively, that is proof that he is in the world and exists. And so, yeah, so my speculation is that maybe he doesn't want to win. Maybe he just wants to be seen.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, He-Man and the other Masters of the Universe, they get up pretty much every day and deal with Skeletor. Like, they're basically created. Like, one of his sole purpose of picking up that sword as He-Man was to fight Skeletor on a day-to-day basis. And that probably fuels Skeletor's need to be evil and, as you said, to not win.
Yeah. And that's all like pretty heavy stuff. I also kind of want to talk about, and we've touched on this quite a bit, that people just seem to like Skeletor. And I think it's hard to really grasp exactly why, but maybe let's just talk through some of the things we like about him.
Definitely. So, and as I said, I loved watching He-Man because I kept asking, where is Skeletor? Like, I want to see him. And the first thing, obviously, is that he's sassy, right? We already kind of know that. We're going to talk about his insults soon, later. But to me, like, Skeletor also seemed like the quote-unquote anti-bro to me.
Uh-huh.
So, like, He-Man is this glowing, buff guy who is so weirdly wholesome, but also very macho and masculine. I'm not saying Skeletor isn't that, But like Skeletor is a little more interested in strategy in order to get what he wants and then using other people to do it and then thinking through how to do it in his mind. So although Skeletor is pretty buff too, he's focused more on strategy. And so I kind of pictured these two people, like one guy is like, I am He-Man and I can move rocks really big. And then Skeletor is like, screw you, man. And just, I'm just going to get you through the back around and fight you that way. And so He-Man seems so bro-like to me. And then Skeletor is a little more like intelligence realness mm-hmm. over here.
He-Man is, I really like what you said about him, his wholesomeness.
Yeah.
He's very wholesome and very just, he's plain. He's so plain. Just kind of like vanilla, good guy. And Skeletor is just so much more interesting. If He-Man is vanilla, Skeletor is like a tangy, sweet and sour sauce.
Right. And so like He-Man doesn't have much depth to him except being wholesome. And I don't know.
Also, why is He-Man like naked practically?
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking too. And then he like will fight with his sister and she's like hardly wearing anything either. And then everyone's really sexy. And I'm like, is there going to be an orgy next? What's happening?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like, it is weirdly almost kind of erotic in a sense, but not really, but like, mm-hmm. Ugh, there's just like tinges of, they're like weirdly on the brink of sexual, but they're also incredibly wholesome and it's a children's show and it's kind of unsettling.
Right.
But then Skeletor just kind of like breaks through that like weird wholesomeness thing with his sassy, unique, interesting personality.
Exactly.
It's like a relief to get away from He-Man and the rest of them. And that, I don't know.
I know. And they're like, goodness for all. And I have a sword with my cat. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, no wonder why, like, they want to defeat Eternia. Or, like, he just hates them. They're just, what do they even do in Eternia? Just sit around drinking stuff out of gold?
Yeah, Eternia is like the rich polo bro frat house.
Right.
And Skeletor is like the emo goth frat house that's like trying to I don't know, I'm
it's the sorority house who's like, you fraternity, you are toxic.
Also, actually I don't think we mentioned this at all, though I'm assuming anyone who's this far into the episode probably knows He-Man somewhat, but He-Man and Adam are the same person. Adam turns into He-Man. Basically, he like lifts his sword up and he goes, by the power of Grayskull, I have the power. And then his clothes disappear and he has magical powers. And no one knows. No right. one can tell. Even though he like disappears anytime anything bad happens. His friend Tila, this one episode, was like, why do you always run away when bad stuff happens? And he was like, I don't know.
I'm just a coward. And then boom, he's strong. Like he always was.
Mm-hmm. There's no stakes for him to like be in hiding, I feel like. Like in Superman,
what does he lose if people find out?
Nothing, really. I can't think of anything. Like in Superman or Spider-Man, they want to protect the people around them that they love. But the people around He-Man are the masters of the universe. Or the people around Adam, I guess. I don't know. It's all very silly.
It is very silly. Oh, and another thing why He-Man is always seems to play defense. Oh, Skeletor attacked. We need to like fight him. But then like in a way, like I was kind of drawn to Skeletor's intelligence because he is always the one trying to initiate the fight, do what he can to get what he wants.
Yeah.
Like if you were He-Man, you would probably think to yourself, maybe I should play offense every now and again, go attack Skeletor. But I don't think he ever really does that. Or at least I haven't seen an episode like that.
Right.
He just seems kind of lazy that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Another thing about Skeletor, he's pretty adamantly evil. He's very openly against doing good things, except for in this one lovely episode, the Christmas special.
Yeah.
Where even though he, the entire episode talks about how much he hates doing good things, he does one very nice thing.
A few nice things, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready for my tangent on this? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I watched the Christmas special, and in the first part of the episode, there are these two Earthling kids that Orko comes across, and they're alone in the snow trenches. And Orko is like, why? Like, what's going on? Like, why are you alone? Okay. So, and where are their parents? Their parents are nowhere to be found, but there are these two little kids in like the depth of like Mount Everest or something in the trees. I don't know. That's what it looks like, but they're just, they're in the midst of Snowtopia, essentially. So, okay. So fast forward, and Skeletor finally, you know, has these kids and takes them with him because he needs to destroy the feeling of Christmas, and they essentially are the feeling of Christmas and joy because these kids are always freaking happy all the time, even though they're obviously neglected by their parents. And they're like cold, and he puts a coat on them, and he's like, gosh darn it, I felt bad. And then he walks with them and has a chat with them about what Christmas is, and he was like, that needs to go away. But then the kids kind of say that he's kind because although he reluctantly doesn't want to help them, he does. And then towards the very end, he actually like saves them from Horde Prime, from being captured, and kind of like helps out the Masters of the Universe. So essentially Skeletor saved Christmas, and none of those royal bastards really did a whole lot. And he was a way better father to those kids than their own parents, because Skeletor did not leave them in a bunch of frickin' snowbanks like their parents did. Like, what? And yeah, Skeletor was bonding with the kids, and he had some inkling of kindness. But this is where we get a lot of awesome quotes from Skeletor. He's like, I like feeling evil, or something like that. And I don't want to be good. I want to feel evil. I don't know. It's just an inkling of the complexity of his character, I think.
It offers some evidence that there's a nice do-gooder in him, someone who really feels emotions, and that this evil thing is not the whole of his personality, even though he constantly says it is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he talks about being evil so much because he's trying to convince himself that he's evil, because he's scared of what it might mean to confront his emotions and positive feelings, what that might mean for him and the implications of what he's done so far in the world, mm-hmm. if he accepts that he's done bad things and has to take responsibility for them.
And I also think that people in general, once they kind of think of themselves as a certain way, they want to stay that way. Just in general, like, I'm a good caregiver, or I am a nice, sweet person, and people know you as that, and maybe you were that way, and so you just kind of want to continue on with that reputation.
Yeah, we like to have an identity,
mm-hmm.
and transitioning to a new identity is always difficult, and being in the in-between is uncomfortable. So sometimes it's easier to stay where we're at, even if it's not where we want to be, because change is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Skeletor is also interesting because for other villains, I was not necessarily 100% on their side per se, although we were practicing empathy and so kind of talking about their side. But I feel kind of more personally on Skeletor's side. One of those reasons being that I think the person with the skull should have Castle Grayskull. I just think that just naturally works together with naming and continuity purposes.
His skull's not gray, though. It's kind of tan.
White.
Kind of off-white.
Still way better than what He-Man got.
He-Man has a skull also. It's just covered in flesh.
Yeah, but we'll never know what it looks like. Okay. We'll never know for sure unless we cut out his face. Sorry, that was violent.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Skeletor because I think he could maybe win regardless of his mindset type thing that you were talking about earlier. I think he could win if he had better henchmen. Evelyn is pretty good. I'm not going to get into it, but there was like some subtle, oh, they could be in love or they might be a couple for career purposes. But I thought, the talent market for evil must not be that great right now. But he does pretty well regardless of having a lack of applicants mm-hmm. to his henchmen
yeah,
and henchpeople.
They are
hiring.
Pretty unhelpful. Often they are what ruins. Almost always they ruin his plans in some way. Even when they're trying to be helpful, they screw it up.
I know. So shitty.
Yeah.
So bad, actually. I would feel pretty upset. I don't think I would hurl insults at people who worked for me. Mm-hmm. But I still probably wouldn't be a very happy person.
Yes.
But if that were the case.
Skeletor's insults are one of the reasons that we love him so much. Mm-hmm. Because he is full of wonderful, sassy, weird insults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the main reason why a lot of people like him.
So we thought we would, to end the episode, share some of our favorite Skeletor insults and also try to write a few of our own insults that Skeletor might say.
So I want to start off by saying a few insults that Skeletor actually has said, because I like them so much. And then it also kind of fueled my way of figuring out, okay, how can I diss someone as a Skeletor-like person? Or like insulting people with a Skeletor-like flair, I think is a very important skill in today's world. And I'm going to give you some tools in order to do that. So, anywho, my favorite insult of his is, quiet or I'll turn you into a suitcase.
That's so random.
I know.
And it's so great because a suitcase is such a, oh, I don't even know. It's like, no one wants to be a suitcase. Like, what? I know. Like, that's like, I would have thought of that. But like, yeah, being a suitcase would suck. I think one of my favorites is not all that original, but I'd love it. He says, I could write a book about the stuff you don't know.
I love that one. Some honorable mentions are, get over here, you furry fool. You could say that as an insult and in the bedroom.
Ooh.
And come in, you royal boob. Because he calls King Randor a royal boob.
I love when he calls people royal boobs.
I know. Like, you regime. You dumb regime. Eternia. Bunch of royal boobs. Don't know what the heck they're doing. Do you have any other Skeletor insults that you would like to share?
No.
So we're going to share some of our insults that we created with Skeletor in mind to diss people. Kind of like, yeah. Skeletor.
I think you wrote a lot more than I did, so you should start.
I did. Some of these I think are good. Some of them not, but we'll see. We only know based on how the audience reacts. Okay, the first one is, shut up or I'll blast you off to Eternia with your pants hanging down for eternity.
You're not going to do it in a Skeletor voice?
How the hell do you do a Skeletor voice? You do it.
Okay, so this is one of my insults. Okay. I don't know. I've never really done a Skeletor voice, so I don't know if this will be any good. The zoo called. They want their buffoon back.
Nice. Okay, I like that. My next one is, you're so stupid that He-Man would just let you into Castle Grayskull.
Okay, it's a good one, but it was a bit of a thinker.
I know. And then, but then it goes dot, 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 knowing even that wouldn't cure your stupidity. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't, it was all right, but I didn't love it. And you also didn't do a Skeletor voice.
I know. I don't know how to do it. I was hoping that if I were to insult people like this, I could just be myself, but like Skeletor. Okay, the next one is, having a bunch of skin obviously slows you down.
Nice.
Get me into Castle Grayskull or I'll transport you to my butt crack.
That one made me laugh. It was a little graphic for a Skeletor even, maybe, but
right.
But I did enjoy it.
You imbecile. You sound like you could be King Randor's bastard child.
Oh.
Because he doesn't like royalty. I don't know.
Yeah. That was kind of mean. I mean, I guess that's the point, right? But
right. Let me clear my head and think of how to get rid of you. I mean, that's something he would say, although it doesn't clap as hard.
Yeah, not a big clap there.
No.
Okay, I got another one. Yeah,
okay, one more.
Okay. Are you a physician's desk reference? No? Then why are you so thick?
I don't understand the definition of thick. that sentence.
Dumb.
Oh. In today's day and age, thick means something else.
No, it doesn't. Like,
it does.
No, you're like you're so thick. Like, that's like, you're so stupid.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought thick could mean, for sure, thick means you've got a nice booty.
Oh. Why? Well, once upon a time.
Uh-huh. In 1955.
Maybe even 1980s. I don't know. I've always thought, like, thick as an insult was like, you're just, like, so dumb. I'm pretty sure it could, that it is used that way.
Yeah, it could. I'm just too young.
All right. I was really proud of that one, and I was sad that it
didn't land. It's good. I just, thick, you know, cultural changes occurred.
All right. How about
since 1985?
How about, are you a physician's desk reference? No. Then why are you so thick in the head?
Okay. Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think that was a good discussion on Skeletor.
Yeah. If you're listening and you have any fun insults you want to share, do not share them in the review section of our podcast. Share them with us on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook at Next Door Villain.
And you could even record yourself and try to sound like Skeletor, like Joe.
Yeah. Even though I did not the best impression.
No, that was good. So yeah, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, wherever. We like to be pretty active on all of those. And if you're really cool, you could get into our secret Facebook group.
Our secret
private Facebook group.
That's like also publicly available if you search for Next Door Villain.
Yes.
This episode was produced, written, recorded, the whole shebang by us, Joe Anderson and Tiana Hennings.
And yes, please leave us a review, as that is very, very helpful for us.
Yes, love those reviews.
All right. Have a great day.